We're glad that you've joined us again this evening. The weather is a little bit worse this evening than it was this morning. At least the ground's white tonight. The roads seem to be fairly well in good shape. Seem to be just wet this evening. That may change in the morning, so if you have to get out tomorrow, please use caution. Again, we want to thank you for joining us here at the Eastside Congregation this evening. Before we begin, let's go ahead and have a word of prayer, and then we'll begin with our study. Our God and our Father in heaven, Lord, we humbly bow before you, thanking you for allowing us this opportunity to come together in this capacity, for allowing us to have this ability to put your message out to the world, and for our members to be able to have this opportunity to have your message preached and proclaimed. We ask, dear Lord, that everything that's said and done will be done so in a manner well pleasing in your sight and in accordance with your will. We ask that you'll help that the lesson be from your word and be the truth. We ask, dear Lord, that you'll continue to shower your mercies upon this great land in which we live, that a certain measure of freedom may be applied, that you'll be with our president and others in positions of power. Help them to make the decisions that they make so that a certain measure of freedom will continue to reign upon this land. We ask that you'll be with the elders of this congregation, that they will look to you for their wisdom and guidance, and you'll continue to shower them with your mercies and your wisdom so that they can make the decisions that best govern the flock here at Eastside. We ask, dear Lord, that you'll be with all those around the world that are preaching the gospel, that you'll help support them in only the way that you can, that they will look to you for their wisdom and knowledge. We are thankful, dear Lord, for all the spiritual blessings that we receive from you, for your Son that you sent to this earth to live the life that he did and to die the death upon the cross of Calvary so that we can have a hope of heaven when this world is no more. Lord, we also thank you for all the many material and physical blessings of this life that we oftentimes take for granted. We pray, dear Lord, that you'll always help to remind us of where these blessings come from and that we'll always be thankful for what we receive from you. We ask now that as we go through this period of study that you'll be with us, watch over and protect each and every one of us. We offer this prayer in your Son's holy name. Amen. I was asked to preach a lesson similar to this. It may not be exactly what the member asked, but we live in a day and a time where there is some misconception, if you will, about religious matters. In 2014, there was a religious landscape study put out by Pew Research that says 72% of Americans believe in heaven. 72% of Americans believe in heaven. But it's interesting that only 58% of those Americans that were reviewed in this or asked in this research said that only 58% believed in hell. Now, how can you have a mismatch of numbers like this about basically the same question? Do you believe in heaven and hell? 72% said, yeah, I believe in heaven. But you have a number there that's a discrepancy that evidently does not believe in hell. Well, we need to understand that the Son of God, Jesus himself, said that both places are real. In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 46, Jesus talks here and he said, these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. So there is a place of eternity, either in heaven or hell, for all of us after this life is over. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus says in verse 28, do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able, now watch this, to destroy both soul and body in hell. Jesus says it's real. And just a little over half the people interviewed in this survey, only half of them believed in hell, that it was real. Now, I want to suggest to you that as children of God, as disciples of Christ, we're not loving our neighbors if we are remaining silent about the reality of hell. We have to tell the world that it's real. We can't allow them to continue where there's only half the population in this country in 2014. Only half the population interviewed believe that there is a hell, that it is real. I want to suggest to you that hell is a place of choice. In Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 7, he talks in verses 13 and 14 about the two pathways that we can choose in life. There is a narrow gate that only few find, but there is a wide gate that many follow, and he says that way leads to eternal destruction. It's a choice that we make, and maybe that's why only 52% believe that hell is real, because God allows us to have this choice. We choose hell. We choose to live our lives in expectation of going to hell when we choose to live a life of sin here and now. That's what Paul talks about in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. But he also says in Galatians chapter 6 verses 7 and 8, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." It is your choice. You can start now planning where you're going to spend eternity. And that sounds kind of harsh, doesn't it? But how many of you as parents, as grandparents, you look now at your children and grandchildren and you give them money, maybe at Christmas, and you say, put that in your college account or put that in your retirement account. And how many of you don't have some type of plan for when you sit down at the end of your life? You make plans like this, and what you have sown is what you're going to reap. You try to get the best return off of your retirement plan. In essence, heaven is your retirement plan. If you're planning well, then that's a good investment now. If you're living your life now, if you're following the straight and the narrow now, then that's a good investment as far as your eternal reward. But if you're investing poorly and you're choosing a life of sin, then rest assured that what you're going to reap is eternal destruction. Sin, we need to understand, brings death. Our accountability assures that we are going to reap eternal death when we sow disobedience and unbelief. And I don't know why it's so hard for people today to grasp that concept. I mean, you do something dangerous in this life and you wind up with a broken bone or something else or some type of disease or whatever because of the rough life you've lived. If you drink all of your life, then you know that you're going to destroy your body, your liver. I don't know why people have such a hard time conceiving the idea that sin, a sinful life, brings eternal death. And it's just like people today in their retirement plans. They don't want to look at long term. They get money and they want to spend it now. For some reason, I get hooked on watching videos of TV shows. How many of you have seen the TV show Pawn Stars? And you get these people that bring these priceless artifacts in, and they've always got a dollar amount on it. And it never fails when they interview them in between the shows, the scenes of the show. They say, "Well, if I can get what I want from this, I'm going on a trip." No one ever says, "I'm going to put this money back and save it for a rainy day." But they're looking for what they can get here and now. Nothing in life is any different, because we tend to ignore the long-term realities of the life, the choices we make in our life right now. People want to live for the here and the now. They don't want to believe that hell is real, therefore I'm going to live however I want. And they think that God is too loving of a God to send me to hell because He wants me to be happy. Do you think that He's going to compromise on His word to suit you? He wants you to be happy. I don't disagree with that. But He wants you to be faithful to Him. And why would he compromise his word just for you so that you can be happy now and you not have to worry about going to hell because you want to live a life of sin? Some people say, well, I'm not bad. And I think I'll go to heaven because that's what I want. Well, God wants everybody to go to heaven. He's long-suffering in that way. Not that any should perish. But he's giving you a choice. And hell is a choice that we will make. The reality of it is, if you're choosing a life of sin, if you haven't believed and obeyed the gospel of Christ, if you have chosen that life of not obeying Christ, not following Christ, then you have chosen hell as your eternal resting place. If you're choosing a life of sin, you're choosing hell. And I'd recommend right now that you change your choice. Hell is a place of choice. We choose whether we're going there or not. But I also want to suggest to you that hell is a place of truth. Hell is where everyone will be exposed to the truth about where they're going. In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41, Jesus says, he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. It is a truth that some will hear that thought, that phrase, depart from me. There's coming a day in which Christ will return to judge. We will be called up to meet him in the clouds, and he's going to have the Lamb's Book of Life and the Word of God, and he's going to judge us. Our eternal destiny is going to be determined before that event because you have a choice. But hell is a place of truth. Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. The Apostle Paul writes in 2 Thessalonians 1, beginning in verse 8, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Notice what Paul says here. This flaming fire and vengeance will be on those who do not know God. There's a lot of people in this land today, 72% in the survey, that said they believe heaven is real. They believe in God, 72%. And only 58% said they believe that hell is real. If 100 people were interviewed, there's still a great discrepancy here. So there's still a lot of people that don't know God, and on those who have not obeyed the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul says these will be punished. If you have never obeyed the gospel, Paul says you will be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Yes, God wants you to be happy. But he wants you to be happy as his child, as an heir to the throne of heaven. You know, we deceive ourselves. We deceive ourselves by thinking that God wants me to have a happy life, a life of sin. I'm making myself do that. You know, we wear masks today because of COVID. But in a sense, we wear masks to hide our hearts so that we're deceiving ourselves, so that I'm believing what I want to believe instead of what God tells me to believe. And Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 4, verses 4 and 5, that all of this is going to be stripped away in the judgment. When the judgment happens, you're not going to have a lie to fall back on. You're not going to be allowed to believe or to mask yourself to think that just because you want to be happy, that that's what God wants you to have. We have to see ourselves as God sees us, as frail creatures that need God in our lives. But hell is a place of truth. It will expose the truth about those who go there. But also it will expose the truth about sin and disobedience. Yes, God wants you to be happy. But as I said, he wants you to be happy as his child, as an heir to the throne of heaven. If you are sinful and disobedient in this life now, you will not inherit eternal life. It's just simply put that way. Hell is going to expose that truth for you, you that have never obeyed the gospel. And hell will expose the truth about God and Christ. They're not going to be there. The book of Revelation talks about eternal life, that heaven is going to be a place where God the Father and the Son are going to be. That's how heaven is described. It's described as an eternal resting place with the Father and the Son. A life that is filled with sin and disobedience today is not going to lead you there, and that's the truth of it. But it also will expose the truth about ourselves. A lot of people today think they are going to heaven, and they can continue to be as sinful and live riotous lives and however they want to live, and God wants them to be happy, and that's all they care about. But the truth of the matter is, when people that live sinful, disobedient lives open their eyes in eternity to a time of darkness and eternal flame, then the truth will be revealed. Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7, points this out. In verses 21 through 23 there were some that came to him, he said, and said, "Lord, Lord, look at all the things that I've done in your name. Just because you do it in the name of Jesus does not make it right. Just because you do something and say, 'I did it in the name of Jesus,' does not mean that we have the authority to do it just because we put his name on it." You know, I go back to Pawn Stars. And how many times do people come in with something that's counterfeit or forged? And they say, "Well, I can't do anything with this." If I'm living a forgery life, a counterfeit life as a child of God, I can't do anything about it. Because if I'm not willing to change and be authentic as a child of God, then hell is going to expose the truth about me when I open my eyes after the judgment. Hell is definitely a place of choice. It's your choice whether you spend an eternity in heaven or hell. It's a place of truth. The truth is going to come out in eternity. But hell is a place of fair treatment. Doesn't sound fair, does it? Heaven is a place where 72% of Americans believe that it's real. And it's a place of peace and comfort where there's no more sorrow, no more death. All the former things have passed away. Hell, on the other hand, is a place where people are going to be in torment for eternity. Read the story of the rich man and Lazarus, who opened his eyes in torment and wished, begged for Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and touch his tongue. Couldn't do it. You see, hell is going to be the outcome of God's fair judgment against sin. The Bible completely tells us this in passages like Romans 2. Verse 2 and again verses 5 through 11. And it's going to be a fair judgment against truth and righteousness according to the works that we have done or left undone. As I said a moment ago, Christ, when he returns and we meet him in the clouds, he's going to have two books with him. One is the Word of God and the other is the Lamb's Book of Life. And he's going to compare us, you and I, as individuals, not based on what somebody else has done, not based on what our parents or grandparents have done, not based on what our children have done, but upon what you and I have done. He's going to look at his word. And that's going to be what we're judged by. It's going to be judged by righteousness and truth according to what you and I have done or left undone. And there's going to be no respecter of persons in this. When you get to the judgment, you're not going to say, "Well, you know, Lord, I lived a 20-year life of faithful service to you, and I believe I deserved a few years of sowing wild seed. I think I'm still worthy of going to heaven." It doesn't matter what you think. You have to live a complete, faithful life. But hell is not a place where God's been vindictive. It is a place where justice will be applied. You know, 58%, 52% of the people say that they believe in hell. The other people, I guess, must think that hell is not real. Or they must think that if God sends people there, that he's being selfish or whatever the case may be. But he is not vindictive. In fact, he's warning you. He's warning all of us that this is not the place we want to be. Hell is an expression of God's perfect justice. In all of this, God's perfect justice is being applied. You look at God's justice all the way back to the beginning of time in Genesis. Everyone who goes to hell is going to be deserving of being there. It is practice. It's because of those who have practiced evil. It is their condemnation. And as I said a moment ago, it's going to be according to their works, to our works. The book of life is what we're going to be judged by. We know that because John writes about it in Revelation 20. In verse 12, he says, "And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. And books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works." Notice that. "By the things which were written in the books." He goes on in verse 15, "And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Now, what causes someone to not have their name written in the book of life? Your choice. The choice you've made. And that's the truth about hell. It's based upon your choice of how you want to live. The type of seed that you're sowing is what you're going to reap. That's what we've looked at in these passages. You cannot live a life of sin and expect to go to heaven. It's just not going to happen. So what we've seen is hell is a place of choice. It's a place of truth. It is definitely a place of fair treatment. But I want to suggest to you that hell is a place of lost hope. Brother Mike Richardson, in his sermon today, Marilyn and I listened to it a little bit after our services, and he talked about men like Jonah, who God gave a second chance. When hell happens, when the judgment happens, there's no more second chances. It's all over with. The Hebrew writer tells us in chapter 9 and verse 27 that it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. We don't have a... You've got all the time in your life right now to be making preparations so that you don't spend eternity lost in hope. You have now to worry about that. You have now to be working on that. Hell is the punishment for living a life of sin against God. We have now to make our second chances. Second chances, well, that's an appealing doctrine, but it's a false doctrine. Now is the day of salvation, Paul would say in 2 Corinthians 6, verses 1 and 2. Hell is a place of lost hope. Right now is all the chance you've got. Right now. This is the chance that God has given you. God is not a respecter of persons. He's not going to say after the judgment or after you've left this world, "Well, you know, you tried, so I'm going to give you a second chance." You know, Hollywood is filled with movies like that where the character gets a second chance and sent back to live their life to make redemption. But that's Hollywood. And that's not reality. Hell is a place of the lost. There's no second chance. And destruction in hell affirms it to be a place of the lost. The Greek word, if I can pronounce it, is apolumai, and it means to lose, be deprived of, perish, to ruin with punishment. And we see that wrote about in 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 9. And what the destruction in hell affirms is that we are banned from God eternally. It's utter hopelessness. You are without hope of ever seeing, of ever being in the presence of God if we find ourselves in hell's judgment. That's the reality of it. You're banned. You're banished from God eternally. You're lost. But you know, you have a chance now. Because hell's punishment is eternal. It is a place where the worm never dies, the fire is never quenched, and eternal darkness. Man has a concept that hell and eternal punishment is a place, and a lot of people make jokes about hell. But man has a concept, a funny concept, of punishment and eternity that they're limited. Well, they're not. And they mostly fail to adequately grasp the eternal nature of hell's punishment. The Catholic Church preaches purgatory, where you have an opportunity to pray your way out, or have someone pray you out of purgatory. Or there are others that believe that you could be prayed out by family members. The Catholic Church, in years past, in the days of Martin Luther, used to allow you to come and pay money to buy your lost relative out of purgatory before they went to hell. You could come to the steps of the Catholic Church and pay the priest money so that your loved ones could come out of hell. It's not like that. There's some teaching in Judaism that's basically like purgatory is a supernatural or supernal washing machine where you're being washed and able to come back out. But that's not Bible teaching. Bible teaching warns sinners now to repent and be ready. Be ready. Be prepared for judgment. The Bible teaches us that hell is a terrible place. Maybe that's why the number is so low. About half of those interviewed in this survey, maybe that's why that number is so low, because hell is such a terrible place. The just punishment for sin, and that sinners must believe and obey the gospel now. Maybe that's why the number's so low, because they don't want to believe the warnings of God's word. You know, hell is real. The Bible tells us that. But the question is this: is it real to you? Do you believe the Bible's teachings about hell? If you do, then you need to become obedient, because if you believe that hell is real, then you have to believe the Bible. And if that's the case, then I'm quite sure that you don't want to go to hell. If you believe in hell, then you believe that you have got to choose to be faithful, to faithfully choose to be obedient to Jesus. And you can do that now. And when you make that choice, you avoid going to hell, and you will be allowed to enter heaven after the judgment. I want to thank you for joining us this evening. I started to make a joke and say I was going to preach a warming lesson on a cold, snowy night. But, you know, I think maybe that's a problem. We take the reality of hell and not look at it serious enough. It may be that you're within the sound of this broadcast and you realize that you've not taken the Bible teaching about hell seriously enough. 58% in 2014 said they believed in hell. 58%. A little better than half. What about you? Do you believe in hell? Do you believe it's a place of choice? Do you believe it's a place of truth and fair treatment, place of lost hope? This is an opportunity for you to do something about it. If you've never put Christ on in baptism, this is an opportunity, because of your belief of the Bible teachings, to do something about it. Become a child of God, to become a disciple of Christ, a follower of Jesus Christ. But also it's an opportunity for you, if you have done that, to come back to Christ. You know, you can be a child of God, you can be a Christian, and still lose your way and spend an eternity in hell. There's a lot of people that believe that the Church of Christ believe they're the only ones going to heaven. I believe it's a sad misunderstanding And I believe it's a sad misunderstanding if we think that. We look at the teachings of the New Testament scriptures and we know that those who have become obedient children of God can be lost. Simon the sorcerer in Acts chapter 8. I pray that this lesson will have some benefit to you and that you'll take it for what it is, preached in the truth and preached in love. And if there's anything we can do for you, if you're here as part of the number at Eastside, if there's anything we can do for you, please contact me or one of the elders. Again, I want to thank you for being with us tonight.